here this morning how God is always with us, always for us, all the time, everywhere. And I'm very fortunate in that I can remember back to when I was 3 years old and my mother used to sit me on her knee and I used to hear Bible stories from her. And that was something that was just very precious because it built a faith in me from a very early age. And I don't want to be arrogant as I say this, but it almost made me feel special, as though I was unique in God's eyes and that I was special to him. And as I say, that's not to be arrogant about it, but just to have confidence in a way that, you know, God is always with me and that he created me for a purpose. But even in these times of great blessing, we're all prone on occasions just to perhaps drift out of God's presence. We know that he is always with us, but sometimes we just drift away a little bit. And I know when that's happening because I don't have words to share from the Word. The Word of God is very precious to me. Again, I don't want this to sound arrogant, but I'm just absolutely delighted when God lays verses on my heart that I can share in prayer times, because I believe they bring direction, they give me direction, they give me encouragement. And when we're quoting God's word back to him, then perhaps sometimes there's a thought, well, Lord, it's your word, so we're going to believe it, and we want you to actually do it amongst us here. Okay, but as I say, sometimes we drift away a little bit, and I suppose I was having what we might call a bit of a barren time in the early part of the year. It had been a little bit difficult. Pat had been quite ill during January, and it was winter, and you know, you just feel a bit, perhaps, you know, you're looking forward to the summer or whatever. And in actual fact, we were looking forward to a holiday in Tenerife in mid-February. But then just before we went away, we had a visit from a couple called Dennis and Julie Saw, who are our spiritual mentors. They actually mentored us in the Christian faith 40 years ago, and we do refer to them as our spiritual mum and dad. And we all need a bit of correction and encouragement, so we have a fairly open, accountable type of relationship with them. Anyway, Julie arrived, and she'd been having a few barren times as well, but she'd found a new way of connecting with God. And it's based on Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and they say, those verses say, I will station myself upon my post of observation and watch to see what he, that's God, will say within me. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. What Julie was actually showing me was that there's a way of connecting with God whereby you're going to speak to him and you're going to listen to him speaking back to you. So it is a question of finding a really quiet space. And I knew this wasn't going to happen before we went to Tenerife, but I was pretty determined that it was going to happen when I was on Tenerife, because holiday time, etc. But it's just a question of really focusing on Jesus so much that you believe his actual presence is there with you, and you can, you know, you actually know him and you're talking with him. And this system, I don't really want to call it a system, but this way of doing things you can actually then ask the Lord certain questions and wait for his answer to you. The questions could be, Lord, how do you see me? Lord, what do you want to say to me? And one of the questions is, Lord, do you love me? Which is perhaps a funny question to ask God, but please understand that there are a lot of people who do this who are really hurting inside, and they've perhaps lost sight of the fact that God really loves them. And so for him to be speaking those words of encouragement back to that person is quite important. So whilst I struggled to begin with to say, Lord, do you love me? It is a very valid question for some people. And the test in all this, or the safeguard in it all, is that when God has spoken to you, you do actually share it with somebody who you trust. So there is an accountability there, and it keeps you on track. So when I first started doing this, I asked God what he wanted to say to me, and how he saw me. And he actually said to me that he loves my thankfulness and appreciation for all his provision. And I am a very thankful person. We do say grace before meals. I'm quite prone to actually punch in the air in my quiet times, because I know when God has provided answers, I do get really excited. He also said to me that he loves the way that I tell stories, the way that I tell Jesus stories. But he also said, well, sometimes to be able to tell these stories, you have to go through some difficult things, because you've got a testimony of what God is doing out the other side of it. And the other thing that he said to me was that he loves my heart for people. And that was at a time when our friend John was down in Brighton, was dying of cancer. And I was absolutely desperate to get permission from his wife Margaret to actually go and see him before he passed away. And the thing that was on my heart at the time for John was to talk about salvation and forgiveness. And I'm only telling you this because it's just, again, marvellous how God speaks to us. I've got these words, forgiveness, salvation, on my heart for John, and I'm thinking, well, where on earth do I start? And I've already told you that, you know, my quiet times weren't going too well, and this is about the 22nd or 23rd of February. So I went back to my daily readings to where I was. So I went back to the 9th of January. Okay. And on the 9th of January, a whole week of readings was about forgiveness and salvation. And, you know, I just felt the words were there if I was able to see John. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to see John, but, you know, God knew my heart and my intentions in that. So that's fair enough. Now, another time when I was having an extended quiet time on Tenerife, Pat had actually gone for a nap, so I thought, okay, so we're okay for quite a little while here. We can... yeah, good. Glad you're laughing in the right places, that's good.
You just said you didn't get forgiveness, didn't you?
Yeah, so I was having an extended quiet time myself, but it was so extended that I actually dozed off. Is this anybody's? No, okay. So I actually dozed off for maybe a couple of minutes myself. But there was a purpose in that, because when I actually woke up on my sunbed, as you do, I felt that there were some hands under mine, and I felt that they were the hands of Jesus under my hands. And I felt God saying to me, what do you really want to take hold of me for? Like, you know, you've got hold of me, what is it that you want? And the greatest desire of my heart, in actual fact, is to walk along an uncrowded beach, hand in hand with Pat. And to do that, Pat would need to be healed. And so I began to talk to God about Pat's healing. And I felt that during the course, and I've got masses of notes where God has just spoken to me about various things, but I felt him say, I will heal Pat. And that was quite a definite, I will heal Pat. And then when I started doubting that I'd heard his word right, he really affirmed it to me, I will bring healing to Pat. And there's not particularly a time frame on that, although we believe it will be sooner rather than later. And I just believe also that this is fitting in with a wave of healing that has been promised over the church anyway. But you see, I had a bit of a dilemma. This is God who had spoken to me, and I really needed a confirmation that that was what he was saying, that Pat would be healed. And the confirmation came in a what I call a remarkable but an absolutely fantastic way. When we got home, it was about the 7th, 8th, 9th of March or whatever. And it was a few days before Pat's birthday, and we arrived home from being out one day, and I found an envelope on our doormat addressed to Pat. So I quickly got hold of it, put it in a cupboard in the kitchen, thought I'll let her have that on her birthday. And then that night I went down to Vicky and Luke's to babysit, and Luke said to me, did Pat get my card? So I'm thinking, it wasn't a birthday card. It was a card from Luke to Pat. And Luke had actually started growing in compassion for Pat. I think he'd seen Pat become upset at perhaps having to face some of the things that she might have to face in the future. And so God was growing a lot of compassion in Luke, so much so that in this card from Luke to Pat, Luke actually promised that he would be praying for Pat every day. And the most remarkable thing then was that Luke had a vision concerning Pat. Now, we have to do a U-turn here. This is a Ronnie Corbett, I digress. I'm about the right height for that, but I'm not sitting in a chair. So we go back now 10 years. 10 years ago, our other daughter, Julia, was in the throes of getting married. Vicky and Luke had just met, and Vicky was going to be a bridesmaid for Julia. So they all congregated at the house. They got into my car, the ladies, that is, and off we went to the bridal shop to try on bridesmaids' dresses and all that sort of thing. Normally it would be the mother of the bride, but again, with Pat's restricted mobility, it fell to the father of the bride. So that left Pat and Luke in our house, and Pat did the thing that most dutiful parents should do at that time, and that's to get out the photograph album and show Luke all the pictures of Vicky growing up. But one of those photos actually stuck in Luke's mind, and it was a picture of Pat in a tracksuit running along a path hand in hand with our two girls. And the picture that God had showed Luke and the vision that Luke had received is that Pat would again be running along a footpath with two little girls, but that this time it wouldn't be Vicky and Julia, it would be Evie and Ava. So that was the confirmation that I needed to have the confidence to share it with you, that God is going to bring healing to Pat. But you see, that requires something of me now. It requires something of me, something of Pat, of Luke and of Vicky, and that is that we walk in the faith of what God has told us. And I just want to talk about faith for just a couple of minutes, because God started to show me what we needed to take hold of in terms of faith. And the story that I just want to refer to for a moment is when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus in the back of the boat, and he was asleep in the stern. And a storm blew up on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples decided to wake Jesus up because they were afraid. And this story is recorded in three Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the words of Jesus are these. In Matthew, Jesus says, "You of little faith, why are you afraid?" In Mark, it's recorded as, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And in Luke, it says, "Where is your faith?" And the implication there is that the disciples had actually lost or misplaced their faith somewhere. Now, so I'm asking big things now. I'm asking for the church to walk with the Gilbert and Tice family in faith for healing. If you come, I hope you will tonight, I'm going to be asking you to be walking in faith for the finances of this church. We're probably going to be hearing about the building. And we're going to need faith to see money released so that the building can be altered in accordance with our 2020 vision. And what I want to say this morning is that just as I've heard God for things concerning our family, the elders of the church have heard things from God concerning our church family. God has given the elders a 2020 vision, and altering our building is part of that vision. So what I'm saying is, if in the past you've had little or no faith for this, can I encourage you now to get hold of faith? That might be your prayer need this morning. God, please give me more faith. You know, it was Thomas's prayer, wasn't it? Lord, I don't have faith for this. Give me more faith. So that's really about all I want to say. But just this last thing, with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus had said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." There was absolutely no doubt that they were going to get there if Jesus said it. So why did they have little faith? Why didn't they have a lot of faith? Why didn't they have confidence in him? So let's shake off little or no faith. Let's grab hold of faith. Thank you. And of course, it gives me great pleasure now to introduce my daughter.
Okay, then I don't have to. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for sharing that, Jim. That takes courage, doesn't it, to speak out in faith what God's put on your heart. We're going to pray in a while. But first of all, we're going to ask Vicky to share as well.
Thank you. Oh, hello. I want to pick up just for a moment where Dad left off in terms of this sense of rising faith. You'll know that myself and a few others went out to the Netherlands a couple of weeks ago now to be part of the prayer and equipping conference out there, and I shared my testimony of healing with the churches and various people out there, which was great. But before I went out, Anne actually had a word for me, or she shared a picture with me that she felt was quite key as I went to share my testimony with a Christian audience, okay, rather than sharing it with someone who doesn't perhaps know God. And this picture was of a pair of glasses, and on the brand name on the side of the glasses was Faith. But the pair of glasses needed to be cleaned, because, as glasses wearers will know, you get smudges on your glasses, and so your lenses that you look through for faith aren't clear, and there's things that mar that vision of faith. And she felt that she felt God was saying that as I would give my testimony to a Christian audience, to those people out in the Netherlands, that the Holy Spirit would come and wipe those smudges off of their glasses, and they would be able to have really renewed faith and clear lenses in terms of the smudges being wiped away. The Holy Spirit would do that. They would be able to have renewed faith for healing and other miracles, and that would really fuel their prayers out there. And I think, I want to say that that's the same for us here as well. You've heard my testimony a number of times. There is this real sense that, faith is rising. And, we've seen over the last couple of weeks, I really feel like everybody's, call to, the call to prayer has been answered. We've been stirred up, and there is a real swell in the sea, and the waves are rising. And I really feel that this is, something that God wants us to focus on, our faith and our prayer life for the different things that we need to see happen. So when I was in the Netherlands, I shared my testimony, and I felt over the last few weeks, especially since we had the Together in North Norfolk weekend, that God's really been stirring something inside me, kind of evangelistically, which makes me feel a bit scared because I'm not a very outspoken or extrovert type person, but God can use that in different ways. And also, a real passion to pray for people to be healed. And as I gave my testimony in the Netherlands, so Mike Betts was there, and he felt again that he'd heard my testimony together in North Norfolk, and he had said to me as well then that he felt something was being birthed in me, but he couldn't quite put his finger on it. But at this weekend, he sort of said, I think it is that because you've been healed and you know the power of God's healing in your life, there is an anointing on you for the gift of healing, okay? Which is fantastic. It's one of those things that seems like a massive thing, but actually it's just, it's just a honing in of everything that I felt, the power within me when God healed me, and that anointing to be able to impart that to other people and for God to just really work through me in this way, which is really exciting. It is really exciting. In a kind of scary way. it is exciting. And, it's not going to be anything that I do. I've really felt over the last couple of weeks since the Netherlands that I've been praying, the enemy tries to get in, doesn't he, when God starts to do something in your life, and he gives you these negative thoughts and this self-doubt. But actually, God's been speaking to me even over the last couple of weeks and days even, just saying to me, you don't need to do anything other than have faith and be available, and I will do everything. The results are not your responsibility, they're not my responsibility. You just have to step out in what I've anointed you to do. We had an amazing kind of session where the Holy Spirit was absolutely kind of almost palpable in the room, and I prayed kind of a corporate prayer for the people there in terms of imparting some of this anointing to them so that they could go out and see the miracles happen that we just long and desire to see in different churches in all over the world, all over the places that they'd come from. And that we'd see real fruit from that. And then again, I felt that there was a real weight on some people in the room, and Mike invited people forward for specific prayer, for me to pray for specific people, this kind of impartation for them specifically, which I did. And it was such an amazing session. And we prayed for people in the room who wanted healing. And whilst, again, I don't know, there weren't any immediate shouts of, yes, I've been healed, and I haven't heard anything since. But again, it's just about building faith, imparting these gifts that God has given to us, really, yeah, just building those gifts and using them and being available to use them, and God will work in his time. And when we were, when we were praying this morning, over in the corner there, before the service, Marshall had a picture of some putty, and how the oil sits on the top, and how you need to work that oil into the putty to make it malleable and to be able to use it. And and he said, you know, it's the warmth of our hands, that makes that oil soak into the putty by kneading it and working with it to grow, to make it grow warm, so that it can be used in the right way. And when we were in the Netherlands, Mike Betts also, in one of his sessions, he used the analogy, which was just brought to my mind this morning when Marshall was saying that, of a glass blower and how the glass has to stay within the fire. That heat, again, the warmth of the hands and the heat, has to stay within the fire for the glass blower to be able to mould that glass into what he wants it to be. And so I really felt this morning that God was saying to us, you know, we need to keep this, this focus on prayer, this focus on building our faith, this focus on the swelling of the waves and the things that are to come, and really keep ourselves in the midst of that with the heat on it, so that God, we're in a place where God can use us. God can mould us in terms of what he wants us to do. We're just keeping right in the heart of it. So, yeah, we're keeping on fire for everything he wants to do. And interestingly, when I was praying for people in the Netherlands, I felt you'll know from my testimony of healing that when I was being prayed for, and I was anointed with oil on the night that I was healed, and when I was being prayed for, I felt burning sensations in all the parts of my body where the tumours were. And when I was praying for people in the Netherlands, having kind of had this gift of anointing, publicly said, I really felt a burning sensation in my hands. And I know that, you know, that's such a powerful feeling and it's such a powerful thing. But it just also ties in with the fact that we need to, keep our ears open, our eyes open, focused on God, our hearts open, right in the thick of prayer and building our faith, so that we are right in that warm place where God can use us. My kind of what I want to say this morning is I want to encourage you to keep pressing in for the Holy Spirit to come every single day, to keep pressing in prayer, to keep pressing in to be in that place where, yeah, the Holy Spirit is just going to wipe those smudges off of our glasses, and we are going to just pray in so much faith for the things that we need as a church. I would love to pray for us now if that's appropriate.
Thank you, Victor.
Okay. Let's pray. Let's open our hearts to God. I'm going to ask Vicky to pray for us in a minute. And then there'll be opportunity to come forward. I think we all need our glasses desmudging, don't we? Yeah, we know God's spoken to us about seeing a release of his power for healing, for other miracles. Sometimes we feel like our faith is strong. Like Jim was saying, the disciples in the boat, sometimes it feels strong, sometimes it feels like there's almost nothing there. sometimes we have kind of memories of times we had faith, but we just don't feel that very strong at the moment. We need the Holy Spirit to continually come and minister to us. And when God does something significant within us, there is faith there which is can be imparted to others. And so I'm going to ask Vicky in a minute to pray for us as a church. And then I just want to invite anyone, if you feel really stirred about this, if you long to kind of have a fresh impartation of faith from God for healing, for miracles, for other needs that you see around you, you think, Lord, I want faith for that, faith to pray for that, faith to believe for that, faith to step out in that, and I'm going to encourage you to come forward, and I'm going to ask Vicky and maybe Jim as well, and Marshall and Chris to come. We're going to lay hands, and we're going to pray expecting faith to be given. Holy Spirit empowered faith to be given. Can we just hold it for a sec, Jenny? Thank you. I'll hear it in a minute. And then there's going to be opportunity if you're here, you're sick, or you're in pain, we want to pray for you this morning if you would like to receive prayer. So let's open our hearts to God. Again, if you just find it helpful to open your hands, that's just a symbol of inviting the Holy Spirit. It's a symbol of openness. Just ask the Holy Spirit to come right now. Let's just wait on him for a moment. Okay, now I'm just going to ask Vicky to pray for us. Can I encourage you, as she's praying, be active. Be agreeing in your heart with what she's saying. Yeah. Remember what we said about God wanting to take us to new places. It's not the familiar that's comfortable, it's where God is that's going to be comfortable for us. So even if this stretches you, what Vicky prays, can I encourage you, if you feel that in your heart, and just agree in faith with God for that and say, yes, please. Yes, please. So let's pray.
Yeah, Father, we thank you and we praise you for everything that you have started to do and have done in our lives. And I thank you for what you've done in my life through my healing and the power that that just represents and the glory that just goes back to you for all of that, Father. We just thank you that we can stand here and glorify your name for the miracles that you have worked and the miracle you've worked in my life particularly. And Lord, I stand upon that healing this morning. And I stand upon that to build my faith, Father, for everything that you have in store for us as a church. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that you come now by your Holy Spirit and you just begin to really stir up in our hearts, not just gentle waves, but real crashing tidal waves of renewed faith and renewed fire and passion in our bellies, just to see these things come to pass that you have spoken to us and you've given us words about what you want to do in this church and in this place and in this community. And Father, we want to hold you to those words and we want to see your kingdom come through what you want to do in this place, Father. So Lord, would you come by your Spirit this morning, Lord? Would you touch each person in this building? Yeah, and I say that because I want to involve the children in this as well, Lord. You just have so much in store for all of us. Lord, will you come by your Spirit now and begin to stir hearts and cause them to just beat so strongly for you, Lord. Will you wipe away those smudges on our glasses, Lord, so that we can just see you with renewed eyes of faith for everything that you can and will do. Yeah, Jesus, will you? I pray an impartation of this anointing, specifically for healing, Lord, upon everyone in this place this morning, Lord, that you will, cause them to go out from this place with such a knowledge of you, with such a fire in their spirit. Yeah, that they know you are with them and all they have to do is have that faith, which comes from your Holy Spirit anyway. Will you, will you draw that up from within them? And they just need to be available and walk into everything that you want them to do, Lord. And it's you that will do the work, Father. Help us to, help us to remember that and fix our eyes on you and just say, here I am, Lord, use me. Yeah, Father. Lord, I just pray your, for a release of new gifts and new anointings within our church family, Lord. Yeah, will you give us the gifts and the spiritual gifts that we need to do your work, Lord? Yes. Yeah. Father, we just pray, come by your Spirit, Lord, and just stir our hearts, Lord. Keep our eyes focused on you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father.